This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Real quick, I wanted to see what y'all thought about the prospects of the Rangers winning last night and then the playoffs potentially coming to Arlington and Houston. There's been discussion of the two-team bubble yet again. Do you care if the playoffs are here if, well, no fans are allowed to go to these playoffs?
I care. I think it would be really cool. And I think we're in the media, so I just wonder if we can get like a tier three pass or whatever, and we can
listen
go
to you dropping that on everyone in 2 seconds. So, you're like, I care because I can be there.
Yeah. So personally, I do care because I think that there could be a really fun scenario where the ALCS or the World Series or something is here. I'd love for the Rangers to be in it, but even if they're not, then maybe media can be at those games.
Yeah, man, that would be pretty cool if something like that was to present itself so that we could take advantage of it. I like what Mike's saying there. I think that would be a nice opportunity to try and be involved with playoff baseball because that would be fun.
So, it'd be really weird if there's playoff baseball here in October and no fans can go, and then right next door there's 55 to 100,000 people watching the Dallas Cowboys play.
The thought is that the two-city bubble would probably be, just because of proximity, you're talking about L.A., San Diego, Chicago, Milwaukee, or maybe Chicago, or Texas, Houston. And Texas, Houston would obviously be good because you would have the potential for the indoor stadiums. But I get that L.A. and San Diego would be good, too, because it, like, never rains there.
How in the world is Chicago a good idea in October?
Yeah, because you have not only the elements of rain, but then you have the elements of freakish cold, where I've definitely seen it snow, like, in September in Chicago, let alone October. So I would say California or Texas probably make the most sense, right?
Yes, I agree with you on that. Absolutely. That's the best. I think that, that's the best route for that for sure. Texas, please. Just so we can have every sport happen right here in Texas.
Can you imagine if they did open it up to 25%? If they did the playoffs and we had 25%?
Yes, I can imagine it because Jerry set me up for that yesterday. Now, another thing that got set up during the press conference is Steven said, we're in the talent acquisition business 365. And then they went out and they signed Everson Griffin. Right now, let's talk with Jeremiah Searles, who he has played with and against Everson Griffin. Sir, welcome to the show. Thanks for taking the time. And what kind of player did the Cowboys just sign?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I appreciate you having me on. And you guys signed one hell of a player. Everson is one of the fiercest competitors. He's also one of the most talented defensive ends I've ever had the privilege of going against. I got traded to the Vikings in 2015 coming from San Diego. I got traded right after camp. And the first practice, Everson was out there, and I was kind of like, oh, I got to prove myself a little bit and show myself I belong here. And Everson just was holding nothing back. And I was like, oh, man, this dude is crazy, crazy talented. And I just got to watch him do that year in and year out. He's a captain on that team. He's a leader on that D-line. And, I mean, between him and DeMarcus Lawrence down there, I mean, you guys are going to have one hell of a defensive end.
Well, and that's something, too, that we looked at last year is this Cowboys defensive line felt like it lacked the talent in the middle, even though Robert Quinn was speed and getting what he was getting on the other side. How much across that defensive front now with those veterans is that going to kind of suffocate offensive lines?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing with Everson is he's a true every-down defensive end. I mean, that dude never wants to come off the field. He takes a lot of pride in his run defense as much as his pass rush ability. And that's one thing that if you have a guy that you can not have to worry about rotating him out on first and second down so you can do incredible things on third down, I mean, that's such an advantage because then you can plug and play. Maybe take your third defensive end and put him at that three technique spot. I mean, you guys lost a great three technique in Malik Collins, who I played with in Nebraska. And so you're going to be looking for that pass rush spot there at that three tech. So maybe you take a second or third D end and you can put him in there on third down because Everson's played first, second, and he's charged up for third because he lives for third down, but he does a great job on that front as well.
So I'm really excited about Everson Griffin. And the only thing that's holding me back here is why did Minnesota let him go?
Yeah, I think eventually, I mean, as you guys have seen it many times down there in Dallas and really across the league, eventually those relationships kind of run their course. I think that Everson signed the big deal there. He had some off-field issues that he got taken care of. But, I mean, at the end of the day, there's always a very delicate balance in the NFL, as you guys know, and as most people know, that there's this very delicate weight that on-field performance, as long as it outweighs some of the off-the-field stuff, you can kind of get away with it. But the second that scale tips and just a little bit of off the field, on the field, the production versus distraction, it's time to move on. And I think Everson did a nice job of the way he handled the distraction. I know that, I mean, shoot, man, everyone's got issues. Everyone's got some things. And it sucks how it happened to him up there in Minnesota and got distractions off the field. But I thought, I mean, he still came back last year. He had an 8 sack a year. I mean, you can expect double-digit sacks out of this guy every year. And so I think that eventually Minnesota had a young talent in Danielle Hunter that they knew they were going to have to pay a bunch of money. They had a young talent in Fadio Digbo who they knew they didn't have to pay a bunch of money, and they're struggling for cap space up there too. So, I mean, I think that the biggest issue, the reason that they had to walk away is money, which at the end of the day, the NFL is all about money, man.
How much pressure, especially from like a double team consistent perspective, would it take off of DeMarcus Lawrence, or would it ease up on some other members of the defensive line if you have to pay more attention to the opposite side?
Absolutely. I mean, you're seeing it more and more across the entire NFL now of getting two premier pass rushers is really the way to do it. Because if you just really have one true stud, you're going to see the slide go to him and get the guard help after him almost every single time. And now it's more along the lines of pick your poison. Who do you want to double team? Who do you want to single up? Who do you want to see in that regard? And, I mean, you get teams in third and eight and plus. And now it's like, okay, do we want to make sure that we're going to have Everson doubled over here, or we do want to slide Mark Lawrence over here? I mean, it's just going to really create a lot of matchup problems. And I wouldn't be surprised if you see Everson and DeMarcus flip sides every now and then, depending on which tackle they feel more comfortable going against. I mean, when you have two type of all-pro defensive ends, you kind of let them tell you where they want to rush. Like, hey, okay, we know your scheme and we know the whole bit here, but I want to rush over this tackle. I know him. I've played against him 10 times. I know what's good against him if you guys are playing the Packers or whatever. And Everson's like, hey, I know how to beat this guy. Or DeMarcus Lawrence is like, hey, I played this guy forever. Let's flip sides. And Everson can play both sides. He can play inside. So, I mean, having two premier all-pro type pass rushers, in my opinion, is going to take you guys' defensive line to the next level.
So I want to switch to your side of the ball and the offensive line for the Dallas Cowboys. Obviously, they have coming back guys that are Pro Bowlers, all-pro guys in their tackles, and then Zach Martin at guard. But how big of an adjustment will it be with a new center somewhat and then kind of maybe a new guard, kind of replacing 40% of your offensive line with no preseason football?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be tough. I mean, that's really tough at any level. It doesn't matter high school, college, but especially the NFL, because the offensive line has to operate as such a singular unit. I mean, we used to call it fist, 5 equals 1, right? Without the fist, it doesn't matter. And so you got, at least you have staples. I mean, you aren't replacing some of the hardest positions in your tackles. I mean, you guys got, I used to watch the Dallas offensive line just like, man, these dudes are the best offensive line in football. I mean, and they really are. I mean, you got a Hall of Famer, in my opinion, Zach Martin. I mean, Travis Frederick was absolutely incredible. I mean, you had a Surfilio there for a while. And I mean, obviously Lyle Collins and Tyron Smith is a top two tackle in the entire NFL. So I think having those mainstays and having those staples there are really going to what helps replace these guys. And shoot, you just replaced one Wisconsin center for another. So I think that you guys got one of the best centers in the draft at a pretty much a steal. I think because he was a hurt, he got drafted a little later than most expected. But, I mean, I thought he was one of the top centers in college football last year, just watching what he can do and what he can play, and he fits your guys' scheme perfectly. I think the guard is going to be a little bit more interesting on to replace. I think the center won't really miss a beat.
Now, my co-host has nicknamed him Tyler Badass instead of Tyler Biadasz.
It fits, right?
Do you confirm with that?
Yeah, I think I can confirm that. I cover the Huskers up here in Nebraska now that I'm an old retired man. So I watched a lot of Wisconsin last year, and just watching how nasty that guy plays, it's really fun to watch. He loves getting after people, and you can tell he's a smart player. That's what you need out of a center, especially in the NFL. I mean, you see so many different schemes. You see so many different, looks and blitzes and fronts that if you can be a smart player and pick those things up and get everyone adjusted, it's going to be perfect. And so I think that, yeah, you're going to have some growing pains as a young center. I got to play with Pat Elflein, who is the Remington Award winner in Minnesota as a rookie, and he did a really nice job. But you're going to get your road bumps, but, you're going to really see year two and three that guy start to really excel.
So when it comes to the offensive line and you watching a football game, right, I love football, but when the ball is snapped, usually my eyes go towards the quarterback and then what's happening around him. Ball's released, you're following the ball to wherever it goes. When you, as a former offensive lineman, are watching the game, how many times do you have to watch a play, or can you just watch it one time, and what are you looking at?
I mean, if I'm watching it on TV, I honestly have no idea where the football is because all I'm watching is the offensive line. Usually all I can watch, and I just wish that they could do the All-22 film for the TV copies and I could get the nice end zone view so I could watch every offensive lineman on watch each play 5 to 6 times so I could see what was going on, which is why I love NFL Game Pass. I go back and rewatch the games all the time, watching footwork, technique, hand placement. But my dad always thinks it's hilarious when I watch with him is the ball will be snapped and 2 seconds in – 2 seconds in, I'll go sack. And he goes, what do you mean? And then, bam, all of a sudden he gets sacked. He's like, how'd you notice that? I was like, because all I do is watch the offensive tackles. I was like, I watch that tackle have a slow get off. I watch the DN get a step on him, or he swipes his hands, or he leans his head, and bam, next thing you know, he's on the ground. So I always watch the offensive line because I think it's a blessing and a curse. I think it's really fun, but I honestly can't just watch football anymore. I'm constantly analyzing it. Mm-hmm.
We're talking with former NFL player Jeremiah Searles right here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, you talked about playing with and against Everson Griffin, but also you referenced Nebraska. I am curious, what are your thoughts or what are your expectations for that team potentially going elsewhere for the fall football season?
You know, our commissioner, our president of our university, came out with a statement this morning saying that we're fully committed to the Big Ten, And that kind of pisses me off because, I know I've been talking to guys in the program and we're having to combat guys wanting to transfer, guys wanting to go back to down south if that's where they came from, or to Texas or somewhere where these other conferences that have a spine are going to play. And it just is so frustrating to see what the Big Ten did and how the Big Ten just really folded all together and put all this time and all this money into freaking protocols and how we're going to handle it. And the first sign of trouble just hit the eject button. So I thought Scott Frost handled it really well. I think Desmond Howard is a coward the way that he attacked Scott Frost last week. But for me, it's just, I think that Nebraska wants to play football. I think these kids want to play football. And it's so frustrating to sit there and watch the Big Ten not allow kids to have a seat at the table and not allow the players to have a true seat as far as what they want to do and what they want to play and the coaches and how somehow it all falls onto these presidents that aren't around day to day, don't see the protocols, don't see how everything works. And for them to just have the power to create and say, nope, not happening, is really just frustrating for myself and for a lot of the players here in Lincoln.
Jeremiah, before we let you go, man, my co-host recently shot an 81. I think you're on the tee at 10:15 here. Are you going to shoot better than 81 today?
Absolutely not. Okay. I'm really hoping to break 100. That's kind of my goal every time I go out. Like I said, I'm recently retired, so I just picked up the game of golf, and it's really, really frustrating, and it's really, really fun. But, yeah, there'll be a few certain words here chosen as I dribble the ball off the tee box and hopefully go chase all my balls to the right, because if I could get that fixed, I'd be all right.
All right.
Well, we appreciate your insight about all things college football and then obviously the new addition for the Dallas Cowboys. If for some reason you do beat an 81, feel free to call back in and brag and take another run at Desmond Howard. I'm here for all of that, man.
Oh, absolutely. Trust me. I told him you could go pound sand on Twitter yesterday, and it's getting a lot of traction because I think a lot of people agree with me.
Awesome. Thank you so much. We will love to talk with you again in the future.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate you guys reaching out.
Jeremiah Searles right there, former teammate and opponent of Everson Griffin. And man, Man.
We have to get into more college football, man. I've been reading stuff and kind of I don't know how much, like, I have opinions, but read a lot of opinions and love to share them
at
some
point.
It's
divided, man. It is so divided. Just like everything has been in this country for the last – since March, right?
Before he said the thing about Desmond Howard, he said because the other conferences aren't cowards.
And spine, something about
spine. And spineless. That, man.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.